Welcome back to Insights from Sight Loss Friendly Church. My name's Matthew Horspool, and with me is Lynn Davis. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about the sacraments, starting with baptisms or christenings. So these are two terms that get used relatively interchangeably, baptism and christening. And it doesn't really have to do with an awful lot. I mean, you can be baptized as a baby, or you can be christened as a baby, or you can be baptized when you're a bit older. You tend not to be christened when you're a bit older. So I suppose christening has this sense of what happens, you know, when you're a baby, but a baptism is still what happens when you're a baby. And of course, there are the various ways in which you can be baptized. You can be baptized in a font, or you can have a full immersion baptism. But in any case, I think it's probably fair to say that if you're a baby, you're not really going to remember your baptism. So I think probably it's not worth dwelling on that too much in this podcast, although we may very well come back to it in the context of what happens if the son or daughter of a friend or a family member is being baptized and you are in the congregation. But if you're slightly older, I guess it could be quite daunting, actually, to just be, just be presented with this pool of water and be told, right, yeah, you've got to get in it now. I mean, I'm sure it doesn't quite work like that, but perhaps you could elaborate on that a little bit.
I actually got baptized as an adult when I was 22 years of age. I wasn't baptized as a baby or christened as a baby because my biological parents were not Christians and didn't wish me to be baptized. So when I decided to get baptized as an adult, I had a chat with my pastor. I was doing this in a Pentecostal church, and he talked through everything that I could expect from a baptism. So I was being shown the pool. At that time, the pool was empty because it was only taken out when a baptism was about to happen. I was told that I was going to step into the pool, have one person either side of me, and how it was going to be done. So I was going to be bent backwards underwater, and the water would be nice and warm. I was advised to wear something akin to sort of yoga wear or sort of sports wear that could get wet, and I would be able to change afterwards. Now, being baptized in a pool is one thing. In my church here in Brighton, we baptize people in the sea because, of course, being by the seaside, it's good to take advantage of that. So my husband, who was baptized as a baby because he has a Methodist background, he was baptized in the sea. It's the same thing, but of course it is a lot colder, and I am very glad for several reasons that I did it in the baptism pool. And some of those reasons have to do with sight loss.
Yeah, I can imagine. Wow. I mean, not only is the sea cold, but the sea is salty. And I mean, that doesn't do much for your eyes at the best of times, I wouldn't have thought.
And also Brighton have these lovely pebbles and rocks in the water. I'm saying lovely in a slightly sarcastic way, because while they might be lovely to look at, they're not so lovely to step on. And knowing where to put your feet, knowing that you're going to be lent backwards underwater, then you really want to be standing on solid ground, so to speak. And I wouldn't feel very comfortable doing that in the water, in the sea.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. So a lot of this is about being well prepared then, isn't it? I mean, the actual baptism itself is not that different whether you're a person with sight loss or just not a person with sight loss. It's knowing what's going to happen in advance and being warned about it. And what about the rest of the service? I mean, did you have a practice of the whole service to make sure that you knew what was going to happen?
So we were a few people that were being baptized on the same day. I think we were two or three people. So we were practicing how we were going to walk in. We were taken out during the service, led to the back where we would be changing into our baptism clothes. And we would be taken in on the stage, because there was like the church was in a theater building, so there was a stage, and we were taken on there, led down the stairs and to the baptism pool, where we stepped in with the person either side of us that we had chosen. So we had a run through of all of that, but not necessarily going in the pool.
Yeah, okay. And I suppose the baptism, even in the charismatic churches, the baptisms are one of the few things where there might be some sort of ceremony. Is there, or is it just done completely just off the cuff? And I mean, if there is a ceremony, you know, is there a place for Braille or accessible format ceremonies in that?
So the baptisms are pretty much like a normal service in many ways. The difference is that the person who is being baptized will come up and do a testimony. Why are they getting baptized? They will tell their story of faith. And then there will be a ceremony where the pastor will say something very similar to what is happening in a more high church christening. So you're being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Of course, you already have your name. So I don't know, in the Lutheran Church of Norway, you would then also announce the name of the child if this is baptizing a baby. But when you have a name, you have a name. So you don't have to do that.
So that's the person being baptized. But there are also going to be people with sight loss who are witnessing baptisms, either as members of the congregation or possibly as family and friends. And possibly as family and friends who don't usually go to church, but have come to church, you know, specifically for this particular occasion. So there's probably an extra need to ensure that the baptisms are sight loss friendly for the congregation as well as for the person being baptized. What sorts of things would you say there?
Definitely, it would be good to understand what is happening, making sure that the person with sight loss is sitting somewhere they can see what's going on, if they have some sights, or maybe at the front or at a sort of balcony that goes right over where the everything is happening, so they can look down. I mean, depending on how the site is and how the building is, or just making sure that they can hear what's going on. And with the beautiful thing about the baptism in the pool and even in the sea, is that you can really hear it happening because people are splashing into the water.
Yeah, that makes sense. And possibly having someone alongside the person as well, in a particularly in a service like that, because any number of things could go wrong, actually. I mean, thinking back to Anglican baptisms, you know, where there is a baby, you know, the baby could not want to be baptized. And so things could take a bit longer than normal. And in a font, you don't get the same sort of sense of splashing about. And so, you know, maybe just having someone saying, yes, it is happening, but the baby's not behaving. I mean, sometimes you'll hear that because you'll hear the baby crying, right, and having a tantrum. But I think if there's ever a time to have a person, a sighted person alongside a person with sight loss, it's probably in those sorts of services.
Oh, absolutely. I really enjoyed it when I had someone next to me describing my husband's baptism and how he was, his facial expression when he was dipped into the sea and he came up again. that was absolutely priceless. And when there is a baby being baptized, it could be good as well for the person with sight loss to get a feel of the font and the setup. When I was 5 years old, my sister got baptized and she was a baby. I have two families. I've grown up in two families. This is my sister from my other family. Some listeners might remember that me talking about my dad being a minister. And that is that family, and that's their daughter, biological daughter. And then I got to go up and see how it was done. So where they would walk up, the position in the during the service, the font, how the water would be splashed onto her head. So that was also a very good experience for me. And that would be something that would be very useful for somebody with sight loss who might not have seen a baptism before. And it happened many years ago, but I still remember it.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good point, actually. Even, you know, we were talking about preparing people for baptism and, you know, you were being prepared by being shown the pool. Actually, even somebody with sight loss, maybe in the congregation, might like to either before the service or after the service come forward and, yeah, explore the area and see, you know, how big is the font? How big is the pool? And what happens in that space?
Yes, because then you can imagine what's going on and the description you get from a sighted person will be fuller because you've already touched it or seen it up close.
Yep.
And as always, If you have any questions or would like to contribute to this podcast in any shape or form, you can get in touch with us. You can call us on 01858 438 260, or you can email us at SLFC, that stands for Sight Loss Friendly Church, @torchtrust.org. We will be back next week where we'll be talking more about sacraments. But for now, from me, Lynn Davis, and Matthew Horspool, goodbye.